Zori Embroidery with the Dramatica Users Group, recorded December 8th, 2009, led by Chris Huntley. Tonight we're doing a story embroidery class, or workshop, or whatever, group meeting, Mad Lib, you name it. The idea is...
Recording?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. The idea is that I have... In this case, I normally do it in the workshop, but then the group meeting, but I just did it ahead of time so that we all have a printout, so we don't have to worry about that. So I did a random story for him, except I didn't make it completely random. I made three choices because I just felt like it. And those were, I wanted the main character to be a male mental sex or a logical thinker, linear thinker. And the other... Two were, I wanted it to be a happy ending, so I had a success, good. Then the rest, I just did a random span, and this is what we've got. So you all have not only the story form sheet, but you also have a vocabulary sheet, which has the short definitions of the terms that are in the report. And as far as the structural items, it has definitions for those. It doesn't have anything about the story points, but we'll be talking about each of those story points. First thing I want to do, though, I did make two other choices. I've assigned a genre and a time period. We're going to do a holiday-themed rom-com / fantasy. So I wanted something light, because we ended up doing some of the most fun but dreary things. I want something really light, and doesn't mean it can't have serious elements to it, but overall. And then time is going to be present day, so we don't have to worry about things that most people don't have any clue about. Without a whole lot of research, which we don't have time for. So the way I want to start this off is that the first thing we're going to do is I want each one of you to create a character. You've got a character sheet there. All I want is a name, age, sex, and occupation. Don't do it yet. Then what we're going to do is we're going to assign, I'm going to randomly assign those characters to the eight archetypes. We're going to have sort of like a random drawing, and whatever character goes into the slot gets the slot. The reason being is this stuff can take forever because it's a lot of fun, but it really is sort of beside the point. And then we'll do a round robin of what we call story embroidery, which is where you fill in the blank on in describing any one of the story points. So there are 85 different story points on that sheet. The only rules are you need to describe something. You need to describe one of those points, be any one, as long as it hasn't already been done. And you need to make sure you honor any of the storytelling that has gone before. So if somebody says this is going to happen in New York City, unless you're talking about another part of the story, which is fine, it's going to be taking place in that location. Or let's say, you know, the character has blue hair, then that character has blue hair unless you come up with a good reason why it's a different color now. Which, it's fine as long as it fits within the context of the story. You just can't undo work that other people have done. We'll do it round robin, meaning just, going from one to the next. And if you don't want to participate, or you want to skip a round, or you want to skip altogether, fine. There's no, obligation to participate in any fashion. I encourage it, but... absolutely do not require it. Any questions before we get going? Okay. Yes?
How will it all come together in the end?
That's a good question, and I hope we'll have an answer to that by the end of the evening. The strange thing about it is that because it's based on a story form, it tends to naturally turn into a story. Because all of the sort of invisible connections are already there, and as we begin to story weave, you'll find that, oh, this is connected to that, and so the storytelling starts to move in a way that tends to blend it together. I do suggest, if at all possible, that in your creating of a character, don't describe yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And try to be creative. I mean, I say that every time, and we end up with a list of middle-aged, you know, men and women, and it's just like, okay. But, you know, I'm putting it out there, but you can do really what you want. This is, you know, after all, it's about you telling the story, not me. I'm just facilitating it. So why don't you guys create your characters? I'll put little blanks up here for our characters, and then we can do some assigning. So are we all set? Okay. Bob?
Name,
age, sex,
occupation, please.
Name, Elmer Himmel.
That's nice.
Uh-huh. Age 27, male. I'm not sure of the occupation yet.
Okay, so he's unemployed.
Well, it is present day.
I probably spelled it wrong, but
doesn't matter.
Odysseus Knight. Oh, it's a line.
However you want it, is it K-N-I-G-H-T or N-I-G-H-T?
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Okay. H?
He's 99.
Uh-huh.
He's a male. But he's a watchmaker.
Excellent. Okay.
Good idea.
Solomon. Uh-huh.
33, male. He's a professional dwarf wrestler. I was going to say tosser, but you want us to be creative. So.
Isn't that politically incorrect?
Yes, it makes it interesting. Yeah.
Mr. Worthington. 64.
Uh-huh.
Male. Butler.
We need a few females in here.
I'll take care of that. Jesse.
Thank you.
67, female, retired / artist.
Retired what?
Artist.
Oh, artist. Oh.
Still an artist. Retired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Denise Strauss. Mm-hmm. 43, female, reality TV show producer.
Oh, good one.
Azir and Solomon having a storyline.
All right.
Isla, ISLA. Roulet, like roulette.
Except it wouldn't have an E, right?
It could.
Well, it'd be roulette then.
Roulet would just have a single T.
Okay, roulette, there we go.
All right.
9 years old.
Female.
Yes. A street urchin pickpocket.
All right.
I have Karenna von Blitzen.
Is that K or a C?
Okay.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh.
She's 232.
What? Very good.
She's a female.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a disgraced elf.
She's what?
Right.
Disgraced elf.
Really, already have things percolating and things naturally coming together. All right. So now, No. Hey, Bob, pick one. This is what we're gonna go top down. All right.
Oh, I got two. I'm sorry.
Pick one. Reason.
Reason.
All right. Elmer is the reason character. Why don't you go ahead, pick another one.
You just happen to be closest.
Antagonist.
Odysseus Knight's the antagonist.
Oh, wow.
People watch me.
It's like heroes.
Skeptic.
Solomon, skeptic. All right. Mr. Worthington is protagonist.
That was an antagonist.
All right, then we have Jesse's the sidekick. Denise Strauss is...
Hey,
she's empty. Okay, go to the next one. Contact. Isla Relay is, or Isla, the Guardian.
Wow, that's quite a fancy, isn't it?
Which makes Karina von Blitzen emotion.
Okay.
All right. Now this is the only time we're going to do a popularity vote. But I want to pick who the main character, the impact characters are. All
right.
So this is going to be done by a show of hands. What?
Down, thumbs up.
Right. Okay. So you can vote for up to three characters. So, but you can't vote three times for one character. So let's. I'm going to go down top to bottom. Raise your hand high if you want that character to be a potential main character. First one, Reason, Elmer Himmel, 27, male, unemployed. Okay. That's a zero. All right. Antagonist, Odysseus Knight, 99, male, watchmaker. Two. All right. Skeptic, Solomon, 33, male, professional dwarf wrestler. Okay. Protagonist, Mr. Worthington, 64, male, butler. Four. Sidekick Jesse, 67, female, retired artist. Zero. Antagonist Denise Strauss, 43, female, reality TV show producer. Three. Guardian Isla Relay, 9, female, street urchin pickpocket. Two. And emotion, Karina von Blitzen, 232, female, disgraced elf. Five, six. Okay, looks like Karina's going to be our main character. Now we need to figure out who the impact character is, and I'm just going to do the same thing again. Starting at the top. Pardon? Yeah, we're looking for the impact character. So we have Reason, Elmer Himmel, 27, male, unemployed. Well, let's put it this way. Do we have any nominations?
I would nominate the protagonist.
Protagonist
for
the butler.
It's really hard not to have a protagonist in one of the two key subjective parts.
Okay.
So,
are there any other nominations?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, then nominate. Let me know.
Isla or Denise.
Isla, Denise, and Worthington. Any others? Is that...
I was going to go with Isla.
Okay, so now we've narrowed it down to three. We have to do all of them. All right, so let's, for the impact character, let's just leave it to one vote, since we're doing only three characters here. So, who wants the protagonist, Mr. Worthington, to be the impact character? There's two. Who wants Denise Strauss, 43, female reality TV show producer, to be the impact character? And who wants Isla Relay, the Earth Street Urchin? Oh, by a landslide. Okay. So, the Guardian is the main impact character.
For the production costs.
Okay. So now...
the oldest and the youngest.
That's crazy.
Yes, it is.
It
It's fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
That works well in the fantasy. If it's crazy, that's good. All right. So now what we want to do, and I'll ask for a volunteer to start, and then we'll just go from there. We will start with the story forum and see who, and start with any storytelling point, any of these story points on here. And we need to have it, you know, described. You want to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Which
you have to need to identify
the main character.
Main character what? The main character domain, the main character concern, problem, issue. You need to actually describe a story point.
The story is that she inherits a famous bar.
Well, which we need to tell us which story point you're doing first. You actually have to do pick a specific story point, because otherwise we can't evaluate it. We need to know exactly what you're going for.
Concern.
Okay, so main character concern of how things are changing.
Yes.
So just keep it limited to Karina's concern.
She has inherited a famous bar that is known for a lot of mischief. She inherited the Bucket of Blood bar in its mining town.
You're kind of getting way too much. Okay. You need to narrow it just to the main character concern of how things are changing. Because everybody else wants to be part of the story, too, so you can't tell everything because that leaves nothing else.
Okay.
So how is Karina concerned, his 232-year-old disgraced elf, concerned with how things are changing?
The area is gone from a rough place to a moderate place. Her concern is that we'll bring in the rough people.
Now if you're talking about the main character through line, this is only going to be about her.
Yeah,
it's not going to be about the big picture.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to do the big picture, that's the overall story. That's
okay,
that.
Okay.
So you know. Just, I'm trying to just keep you focused on that particular story point. So what is it that Karina is personally concerned with how things are changing? Do you have, is that in the direction you were going?
Yes. Okay. She's worried about how people will view her now that she's the owner of the.
Well, if she's become the owner of a bar, then her life personally is changing.
Yes.
So are you saying, are you actually nominating a situation? Her through line is she's now the owner of a bar.
Yeah. And being the owner, she.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just make her, let's do the overall story domain of situation. She is a bar owner.
Yeah.
A troubled bar.
Yeah.
I don't know about a troubled bar.
Yeah.
Then it's got some conflict built
bar,
in.
Yeah.
And leave it at just that simple. Okay. So main character, through line or the domain, which is the situation, is that she's the owner
of a troubled bar.
Of a troubled bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Overall story. Concern of doing. They're all trying to save the last Christmas.
I'll try to do what?
Trying to save the last Christmas.
Trying to.
Does that make sense?
No.
This is the last Christmas. It's like the end of the world, kind of last Christmas. Then there'll be another Christmas.
So it's 2012.
Actually, it's 2011.
Yeah.
Right. They have 1 year minus 4 days left,
and they're trying to save the last Christmas day. Before the world is destroyed. Exactly.
Okay.
But does that qualify as doing, or is that more entertaining?
Right now, it's broad enough that we can probably tailor it to doing. If it's about the efforts to save it, then it's fine. if the goal is more specific to you know, what is the goal is this is the concern, right? We could just say it's the efforts to you know, trying has to, it's looking at it as the efforts, not actually the accomplishment. But maybe they're trying to get people into saving it and they're not doing that. And, you know, just once you get the process going, it'll sort of take care of itself, that kind of a thing. You know, it's almost like one of those things where you got to get people believing and then, you know, Christmas will come back. That, you know, that's not this, that, I wasn't talking about this story, but that's another one where it's not the, necessarily the result you're necessarily going for. But yes, I would tend to think it would be an obtaining, but we can tweak it with more examples.
So along those lines, then, how would we categorize it as doing something more specific or something?
Well, if you can think of
more of an activity or
yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying maybe when we do some of these others, they'll fill that in. You know, because we have an activity domain. Well, what is the activity? That's going to be a process. If we tie it to that, it'll probably
like spreading okay. Christmas cheer,
something, whatever. Right. Yeah,
trying to get the real Santa to come to the bar.
do you have a?
I was gonna. I'm thinking of the driver of decision. Trying to think of a way to word it that doesn't just repeat it. Because basically you, the decision moment, at least the inciting incident, I'm just thinking this through. The inciting incident is that this motley crew of bar patrons decides to save the, last Christmas, but, it's contingent upon a decision. They have to sort of force the cosmic timekeeper, Mr. Knight,
Are you talking about now? Are you talking about the inciting event now, or are you talking about the concluding event?
Well, I'm talking about both. So, okay, why don't we just say that the inciting incident is a decision by this motley crew of bar patrons to go make the watchmaker change time so that they can celebrate Christmas before December 21st, 2012.
Okay.
I think
that's a little too complicated for an inciting event. It might be that you have this group of motley bar folk that decide to work together to save Christmas. Mm-hmm. That is an inciting event, because then the actions that follow that would be because that relatively straightforward decision was made, and if that decision had not been made, that pact or whatever, it would not have followed. Because those actions would follow that, but are not part of that.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So we have the decision to act as a group by various bar patrons. Right? More or less?
Sure. Yeah. yeah.
All right. I mean, as you see, the thing is that we'll start to go in, and if we have enough time, we can start dropping in more inciting event and more driver events and things like that.
So we're not saying decision to act as a group by various bar patrons to save Christmas. We're just saying to act as a group.
No, because if you're talking about the inciting event, in and of itself doesn't have the goal established. It just starts things off, and if that did not happen, you wouldn't have a story. So if you didn't have this group of people who apparently are going to have the powers to make it happen, get together and say, let's do this as a group, then it wouldn't have, then the whole thing would never have happened.
Right.
So that's what makes it an inciting event. Yes.
I want to nominate a main character unique ability fact.
Okay, can let
me wait. I didn't mean to signal you.
No, that's fine. No. Do you mind if we go out of order?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. No, that's fine. Hey, if somebody wants to jump in.
All right, fine. I'm going to go with Karina knows something about Oedipus Knight's Odysseus Knight's first Christmas.
Okay.
She has a fact in her possession from when she was...
Okay, that's better than saying... Because knowledge is different than a fact.
Ah, sorry.
So...
She knows something specific about
his
early Christmas. Or,
well, there's some fact about her, or what...
I was going to say, she has a fact about him.
Well, it's going to be a part, because it wouldn't be in her through line.
I gotcha.
In other words... Right. See, if you're looking at a unique ability, well, all right, that's going to have, there would be, it's almost like there's a fact about Karina that makes her uniquely able to help with the defeat of Odysseus Knight.
So the other one I was juggling with was she actually knows Santa is real. Is that more like
you're
saying?
Yeah, no, that would be, or she is, well, what is she? She's an elf.
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty important fact that might, whatever it is that,
right.
You know, the fact that it's essentially the same kind of fact that there is about Luke. He's
right.
The only one who's a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she is an elf. So, you know, the fact that she's an elf makes her uniquely suited, out of all the characters in this story, to actually save Christmas.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or... Keep Christmas going. That's a way to turn it into doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about keeping it going as opposed to, you know, saving it. It's the same thing. It's just sort of a frame of reference. So the fact is, she's an elf. And now you can make it a little more specific. Maybe she's the last elf of a certain type, so that she's sort of, again, uniquely able.
Well, I had her down as a reindeer trainer.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Okay. So let's say she's the last reindeer trainer, and we can maybe end up having problems with whatever's Christmas is falling apart because of that somehow.
Or that can go into why she's disgraced.
Right.
she's
the one who overlooked Rudolph. Passed on Rudolph.
She raised Rudolph. She trained Rudolph.
Anyway, I don't know. There's lots of ways we can go with it.
Impact character, concern, impulsive responses. Ida Relay finds an opportunity to get into Odysseus Knight's watchmaker shop and steals something critical for the plot.
How is that? Okay, now is this in her role as guardian or as impact character? And if it's an impact character, how does that have an impact on Karina? And how does it deal with impulsive responses?
The impulsiveness, I'm understanding, that since she's pickpocketing, was just an automatic reaction from her. The opportunity presented itself. The guardianship, it helps progress the plot in some critical way, such as financing some scheme. The impact character.
The concern. So this would be, this is something that's going to be of concern to Isla, right? And it's going to be an internal thing, not an external.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be the, you know, maybe she's is jittery that. Or something.
She's a kleptomaniac.
She can't. That's. And I think that may be what you're talking about. She can't stop from stealing things.
Yes, there's opportunity to prevent itself.
Right. Okay. And then and how would that negatively? How would that undermine Karina's efforts.
No, that's right. Undermine.
Yeah, okay. Actually, it doesn't. It doesn't have to. That'd be the unique ability. So concern. So just she's a kleptomaniac. She can't control herself. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's about her. It's because you start to deal with the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
That's overall story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have this person who's just an impulsive klepto, and that's going to, we'll have to figure out how that's going to affect Karina, but it will. I mean, we'll maybe can define it a little stronger,
mm-hmm.
or refine it as we go along. So she's an impulsive kleptomaniac.
Chris, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
We defined Isla as the impact character. So now, in each one of these story points, do they have to somehow relate to her impact on the main character?
Yes. Now, that could be by design, by intent, or not, but it will have it basically that because she is whatever way we're describing her that are structurally, it will necessarily impact the main character. It will force our main character, who is a, by the way, steadfast character. So it's going to challenge the main character's steadfastness. Ultimately, Isla's the one who's going to change, not Karina. So this is one of those stories where the main mm-hmm. character
okay.
sort of forces the impact character to change as opposed to vice versa.
So then if we say her impact character impulsive response is concern is impulsive responses, and it's because she's an impulsive kleptomaniac, do we complete that statement by saying it affected Karina in some way, shape, or form?
We can. We can. Sure, if we know how to do it. If we don't, then we leave it a little vague, and as we start filling in the other parts, though, you'll find that those examples start coming to mind when more specifics of the story start happening. Right now, we've got very little to work with.
Sure.
So, leaving it vague is probably pretty good at this point. It doesn't tie everybody else down too quickly.
Well, I was going to go with Isla's innermost desires.
And that is what?
That she really wants.
Wait, no, innermost desires is
the
what?
The signpost 3, right?
Oh my goodness, okay.
Is that a scary place to start?
Well, no, it's kind of specific, but that's fine.
No.
Okay.
I was thinking that she really wants to believe, and she wants to not have to pickpocket, and she wants, her desire is to see Karina reinstated as an elf.
Okay, so her innermost desires are, she wants to see Karina reinstated as an elf?
She wants to believe in the whole idea of this Christmas thing that she's never experienced.
Okay. She wants to believe in the whole Christmas thing that she's not experienced. That's fine. And especially since she's also a fixed attitude character, dealing with belief is absolutely appropriate to wherever she would be. All right, next, Jim.
The story goal, doing.
Uh-huh.
The goal is for Karina to do the things expected of a elf. Saint as elf.
Karina to
engage in elfly activities.
Well, we already know she's a reindeer trainer.
One of them. I was trying to keep it.
Oh, okay.
General,
okay.
So, like wrapping presents, making
to
toys.
Return to her
elfly duties.
Elfly duties, sure.
That's right. Duties. Or elfland,
because it's funny. It's a wild story.
It'd be a wild story.
All right.
The story goal. The overall story goal.
Yeah.
Oh,
the story goal. Of doing. Okay. Gunther?
I'm going to pass this time. I'm still trying to follow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did we do? Yes, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
Bob?
I pass.
All right.
Let's see. Main versus impact story.
My goodness. So, good. All right. And what level?
The concern playing a role. The disgraced elf, Karina, is Isla's mother.
Okay. How's that playing a role? If she really is her mother, that's not a...
Now she decides to play the role of her mother,
sends to adopt her,
or at least tacitly adopt her. You know, that's playing.
That. Yeah,
that's playing a role.
That'll work.
So
she wants to be motherly to Isla.
Okay. So you're having Karina do this.
Yes.
Okay. So Karina. What was it? It was playing a role.
Yeah, playing a role.
No, you said it, I just forgot. So is it Karina wants to, or Isla wants her to, or is
Karina
it...
wants to. Karina wants to be the little girl's mother.
Then I'll just say Karina plays or pretends to be. How's that?
Okay.
And to be Isla's mom. All right. Now, one would assume that Isla's not real big on that, that there's some sort of conflict in that.
Because she's a big part of course.
No, but not, I mean, it's a yes or no type of question, not exactly necessarily why. Well, we can flesh it out, but you'd want to. So you're going to say someone wants them to be sort of be someone's mother, pretend, you know, act like someone's mother, and then you want some resistance somewhere. Or you could have it, Isla wants, you know, Karina to be her mom, but she doesn't want to play that role. Whichever way you want to go. So we're going with the Karina wants it and Isla's a little resistant. Okay, sure.
Well, I'll follow up with that. The impact character through line fixed attitude. She kind of comes from a place of no one cares about me, let alone Santa. She's a street urchin. Her fixed attitude is no one cares about me.
Great. All right.
And that'll obviously feed into the change, impact character change dynamic.
Right. This is beginning to feel like a Hallmark special.
Yep.
All right.
Main character problem, trust. Her issue of trust is she distrusts herself due to the disaster that resulted in her being displaced.
Now, as a steadfast main character, the problem is going to be the source of her drive, not something that she ultimately sort of overcomes. So can you just send that to me again? I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't really listening in with that in mind, but I just wanted to...
No, I probably got it wrong, though, but what I was thinking was her problem is trust and it's mistrust. She's not sure of her own capacity to perform these elfish activities due to the disgrace of her past, where she badly misperformed and is now disgraced.
Okay, that actually...
And the anniversary is coming up or something like that.
That works in terms of her, you know, getting sort of, you know, agitated by when being required... being put in a position of trust.
Yeah, the pressure is on.
Right. So she feels pressure whenever she's being trusted with something feels...
Yeah, this elf area.
Okay. So now do you think it's... Do you feel it's... I mean, it could be both, but do you feel it's more when she's trying to trust others or that others have put their trust in her or both?
Herself. Trust herself. When people have placed trust in her in this area,
that makes her really skittish. Okay,
she has been a disaster in the past.
So she's, I'll just put that as unsettled by others putting their trust in her.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, good. Next.
I'm a little confused. Is Karina actually Isla's mother or just pretending?
In this, she's pretending. She might also be, but at this point, she's just pretending.
Well, I don't know where this would go exactly, but could it be that Isla is the reason for her disgrace somehow? That she...
Well, Isla's only 9, and unless Karina got disgraced recently... But she could have.
Maybe she was born on Christmas Eve, and she gave her up, and that was the disgrace.
That's completely possible.
Didn't have the reindeer ready that Christmas
Eve.
Karina was pregnant at the tender age of 223.
That's fine. I'd say I'm not sure that it needs to be in... That would actually just sort of be talking about the relationship between them, so that we would say...
You do the catalyst of knowledge.
Well, that would be maybe when she actually finds out that it is her daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be. But we can just put this over in terms of the storytelling relationship, so that we're saying that Karina is Isla's mother, birth mother, but is unaware of it or something. Maybe she even got disgraced, and if Santa took the baby away, and then she went out into the real world to try to find her kid. Who knows? You know, or the kid got into the bag and was dropped off as someone's present.
We got
all the stockings. I don't know. So Karina is. Karina is Isla's mother. And you wanted it responsible for her getting kicked out. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And tied to...
Couldn't that be one of the signposts?
It could be a lot of things. And it's probably more backstory.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it's not... you'll see it come forward in some stuff, but that's fine to establish backstory, because then it sets up, you know, as you said, we've already heard it come up as the, you know, as...
But since Karina's playing the role, is she actually not giving this backstory?
She doesn't realize she actually is it. You know, because maybe, because, you know, it's... And that's fine, you know. It could work.
It's a romantic comedy. We got to get to the romantic part at some point.
Right. So we have other we have other characters in there. It could be romantic, but it doesn't have to be about
intimate relationship. Like
no, it can
be.
It could be
a mother daughter type of love story.
Right, and you can have the romantic part be any of the other characters, too.
Yeah.
You know, Karina is involved with some other character. Right, yeah. I mean, the younger man, the 99-year-old younger man.
This is bizarro Hallmark.
Jim?
It's at the Hallmark and Sci-Fi Channel.
There you go. That's what Chris was going for.
The consequence of being?
Consequence. Uh-huh.
So if they're not able to get Karina to return to her elf duties,
if the group is not able to.
If they're not able to do that, then they have to live like druids. As if worshipping was the worst thing.
Okay, they have
to be pagans.
Pagans, right. Okay. And my tie-in, which is kind of a double thing, is Odysseus, in addition to Watchmaker, he makes sundials or something.
Oh, interesting.
His ultimate plan is to convert everybody to worship. pushing the sun so we can sell more sundials.
So he doesn't have to spend hours over one watch putting
gear.
Oh, except but that wouldn't fit in with his consequence, because the consequence would be the thing that he would.
Well, being, I mean,
right.
He wants everybody to live like pagans and worship.
Okay,
the
consequence would be
sell more sundials.
Like.
Without Christmas, right?
It's kind of ironic considering Santa Claus would be really considered pretty pagan anyway.
Right. Well, I was trying to be not
ironic.
Offend anybody, I'm sure I offended pagans, but I'll get back to him. But if you have to pick in a story, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, that's not a problem.
Okay.
Catherine, did you want to?
I'm going to pass again. I'm just finding this too interesting just to listen.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
I was going to answer your question, but not your turn.
So. Okay. So I'm going to go with a subjective story, symptom of ending, although I think I've blown this already. I was going to say Isla keeps running away. But I think that's more of a response, right?
The symptom would be what they think the problem is in the relationship, and the running away could be a problem,
okay,
as opposed to a solution,
right?
You
okay.
know, it's not the actual problem,
okay.
but it's the apparent problem.
So I had it right. She keeps running away every time Karina tries to give her a place to spend the night, essentially as her staff's mother.
So she runs away when Karina gets too close.
Yeah.
Is it the problem?
It's the symptom. So it looks like
a
problem. Yeah, but it's not really. Karina gets too close emotionally. I think that's
yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Not physically. And that's appropriate. It's the manipulation domain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the kind of behavior you. It's a behavioral problem.
I'm the main character, the test.
The main character
solution.
Okay.
Solution, yeah. The test is when Christmas actually comes, whether...
Now, understand, she's a steadfast character, and this is the thing that, as a solution, would remove her conflict if she actually ever adopted it, but she doesn't. But it will show up in the story as a sort of the alternative to which the path should go. So this would be the thing that would I thought of the exact what I might want to do. But this would be the test or something about test that would really get rid of all of her drive. You see, so now what were you saying? What was the
Christmas actually come and she did her thing.
So what is the test though? How does the test fit into that?
That is the test. Christmas is the test.
But how is it the test then? I'm not sure I understand the nature of what.
Whether it comes or it doesn't come, whether.
But that's not. But whether the Christmas thing, that's the big. That's the overall story. That's not the main character. So,
I see. Okay.
If we look at the overall story,
I'm mixed up.
Right. You just need to make sure that with all the main character stuff, it's really just about Karina von Blitzen, the disgraced elf. Whereas everything in the overall story is going to be about this whole effort to keep Christmas going.
I pass.
Oh, okay. Okay, Paul.
Okay, so I want to fill in the through lines for activity of the overall story.
Okay.
To kind of lead me along with this.
leave you alone with this?
No, lead me.
Oh, lead you along. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chris, I want you to leave the room so I can answer.
That's fine. As long as you keep talking, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so the activity has to be all the patrons from this bar, or has to include
Well, it has to include all those characters.
It has to include all the characters.
Okay. Right, so you've got patrons in a bar, but I'm assuming there's going to, it's a little, it's not just, it's not a situation play. It's, you know, it's something that's, this activity that's going on.
Okay, so.
So it's all the characters in the story.
I'll pass for right now.
Okay.
I'm not sure what kind of activity we should be doing, but
All
right. Okay. I'll take a overall story problem of result. Okay. The watchmaker is more than just a watchmaker. He's some kind of cosmic timekeeper who, you know, operates in fantasy land. But the result. He's working on some kind of activity. He's engaged in some kind of activity that's going to result in Christmas Day being taken off the calendar. It's a fantasy, right?
No, I know. It's just very similar to something that you were working on a little while ago.
Oh, I thought, but does my thing count?
No. At work. So, which more did you
outside
hear? Did you hear what he said?
That
say it again?
That the watchmaker is engaged in some kind of activity, and we can go back to that. But he's engaged in some kind of activity where the result is going to be the elimination of Christmas Day from the calendar.
All right, a particular day from the calendar. Does that sound familiar? Any of the projects you've been working on?
No.
Some sequel you've been working on?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That's okay. I just, it's like, it's really funny that you came up with that. It's like, oh.
Well, I'm trying to make sense of what's gone on before.
No.
I think that's, you know.
It's perfectly fine.
I said, oh, he did something that resulted in Christmas being taken off the calendar, but that would be an action story. So
right.
it's not the action. So. Christmas hasn't yet been taken off the calendar. It's that he is currently working on some, engaged in some activity that will result in Christmas being eliminated.
Right.
We go from December 24th to December 26th.
Right.
Yeah, somehow. but it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And that's why our group decides to,
Right. You don't need to say that's why, because it's already up there.
Right, okay. Do something in the process.
Main character issue, fantasy versus fact. This has to pertain to Von Blitzen solely, right? After her own nature.
Primarily. It could be an attribute of her or attributed to her.
Right.
It does.
This is her conflict after her own nature. She's a disgraced elf and she's been holding this fantasy about what her ability is versus finding out what it really is.
Okay, so she has an unreal idea.
Yeah, I kind of appreciate you.
Of her
abilities, skills.
Okay.
This is her self-trust issue again.
Mm-hmm. In contrast to
real nature.
Yeah, her real nature. Okay.
Can I ask something real quick?
Sure.
Have we ever done a story form for the movie Elf with Will Ferrell?
I don't believe we have.
Because that's clear. Clearly, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
A steadfast character.
Yep.
I probably a situation, and I would have no doubt that he's also got an issue of fantasy versus fact.
I think, though, he's an activity character. The overall story is probably a fixed attitude. Remember, it's all about belief.
Is that overall story or subjective story?
Remember Santa? Everybody has some. Nobody believes in Santa. They can't get the reindeer flying because there's not enough belief around.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
and he is, if you look at it in terms of comedy, he's in the physical comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah, but
whereas
he's also
but the relationship is the situation. He's the son of this ad guy who has basically disowned him and doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, but the impact character is Zooey Deschanel, is the girl. And she's the change character there.
I think the dad is the real change character. She's the love interest, and I think it might be a dual thing, but because she also doesn't believe in Christmas, mm-hmm. or she doesn't believe in singing. I think
she's
or something
skeptical.
Like that. Yeah, she's a skeptic. Yeah, I think that's the thing is I think she's really just a skeptic more than she is a real change character.
Okay.
In terms of the meaning of the movie, it's tied more to him when he finally sings. That's what gets the sleigh back up in the air.
When the dad sings.
The dad sings.
Okay.
Because that was a real change. It was, I haven't done any story forming out, but that's the things that come to mind.
Okay. Yeah.
This
started to sound very similar.
Well, you're dealing with elves and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
How many stories have you really read about?
Scary parentage and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I was going to pass, but since we were talking about skills, then is it important, is her critical flaw important?
I'm sure it will be.
Like her skill as a bartender really sucks, but she's a great reindeer trainer and she just doesn't know it yet.
Well, now, what would happen is that the critical flaw is going to undermine that unique ability, which is the fact that she's a reindeer trainer. So how would her skills undermine that? Maybe try to reverse what you said. She's a fantastic bartender, which is the thing that would, the better she does it, the more likely she's going to stay at the bar instead of being the reindeer trainer, which is what's really needed back up in the North Pole to save Christmas.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what I heard. Okay, so let me just write that down very quickly before I forget it. Okay. Okay, so she's a great bartender, which draws her away from her potential
or her real calling.
Her real calling. Excellent.
How about the issue, fantasy or fact, that she's 232 in age, and people don't believe anybody lives that long?
That would actually fit in there, too. That could be in there, too. Let me put that in there. That's consistent. I mean, you can. That's one you could easily just fill with all the, people trying to hit on her. It's like, honey, I've been doing this so long that I've heard every line possible. How old do you think I am? You don't look a day over. Whatever.
191.
Right. You can really play that. There's lots of material for that, especially if she doesn't even look 232, right?
What does that look like?
Let's say she looks like she's 12. it's like, wait a minute.
I wonder if Isla doesn't want her as a mom.
Okay, Jim.
Overall story solution process. So all along, the idea that Christmas isn't the result of one person's efforts, but the process shared by many, so that everybody in the group joins in. Let's keep Christmas going.
I start singing Wahoo Doors.
Wait, so I'm sorry. So can you say that once again?
Christmas is a process shared by many, not just one. Not just the results of one.
Yeah, Christmas is a collective effort.
Yes, because it's Hallmark. That's what
Okay.
Did anyone go to see Grinch at the Pantage Theater with Christopher Lloyd and John Larroquette? I was curious.
A play?
Yeah.
A musical?
A big stage musical play with...
Oh, sorry, I missed it.
The Grinch, yeah.
Okay, no. Sorry.
Christopher Lloyd as the Grinch and John Larroquette as his dog.
Okay.
I was very curious to see it.
How long ago was this?
Just recently.
Oh, really?
Like right now, probably still.
Still on?
Probably, yeah.
Hmm.
You just said Stallone. Who would he be?
Yeah. Oh, Stallone. Stallone.
Yeah. You mean Christopher Lloyd as in Back in the Future? Christopher Lloyd. Okay, Mike Court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a dog.
Yeah, uh-huh. Do you want me to just skip you until you say...
Until I raise my hand. That's
okay. Good. Sounds fine.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to have to pass to...
All right.
Unless you give me 2 seconds to think.
Sure.
I'll pass.
Well, when you come up with it, let me know. We'll just insert you.
I pass.
Okay.
Overall story, signpost 1. Okay, let's bring in some new characters here.
And what is signpost 1 of?
Gathering information.
Yeah, okay, learning. Okay, gathering information.
Okay, our protagonist.
So.
Right. Our butler, Mr. Worthington.
Maybe he's a watchmaker's butler.
Well, no, he's in love with Green. That's true.
Well, let's see here. Let's bring Denise into the picture. Okay. So they all want to go separate ways. So they pair up to go separate ways to gather information. Now, I can only deal with one couple at a time as far as who's gathering the information first. Does that make sense?
Why don't you do something a little bit broader? It's like, for instance, if we want to look at the protagonist, and it's like, okay. You know, Mr. Worthington learns blah 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 blah, which of course is a key point toward, you know, whatever, maybe about the evil plan that the Odysseus Knight, his employer, or whatnot.
Mr. Worthington learns about the evil plan that Odysseus Knight is involved in trying to stop
Christmas
Day.
Perfect. Okay, so... I'm just going to put learns about Watchmaker's evil plans. Evil plans. And which would include all the rest of it. Don't want to sit here watching me write this on the board. Okay. Sandy?
Okay. I'm kind of thinking signpost 3 of obtaining... I want to work on some of these other characters because we have the reality TV show producer as a contagonist, which kind of would suggest that she's like filming this. Okay, she's doing she's filming this effort. She's going to make a show out of it. She keeps getting in the way. She keeps hindering our hero's efforts. But in signpost 3, our hero, Mr. Worthington, and our retired artist, our dwarf wrestler, etc.
Of the group.
Get a hold. Yeah. They obtain, I'm trying to think, what's a good item that they get from the watchmaker's shop that is the crucial piece of the plot? It could be a sun.
The turn time.
Okay.
I just threw it off.
The what?
Or a pendulum, say. Or
the turn time.
They
steal it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they steal a watchmaker's giant pendulum, but then because of the Denise Strauss's efforts as with the camera and all that, they lose it again. It like goes, you know, they trip and it falls over.
She breaks it. It breaks. Maybe.
You just get lost in the snow.
Just from her hindering with the camera. I'm just kind of
picturing
a giant tower and it falls over.
Less think of it less as a huge set piece and just as more as bits. So they steal the watchmaker's
whatever.
Pendulum?
Pendulum. Okay, and then...
We can change that.
Whatever it is.
But pendulum,
If you want to change it, that's fine. And then you have another part of obtaining is that they lose it.
Then they lose it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all... They lose it. All right. I mean, when you're... You know, the thing is, when you're actually filling this out into a story, illustrating it, and then weaving it, you're going to need to fill in these things with much greater resolution than we would actually have for this, but we just don't have enough time. Okay.
The overall story customer is wisdom. Wisdom is understanding how to apply knowledge. So they're all in the bar discussing their dilemma, and the catalyst is when they understand how to the significance of the thing, the pendulum, and the need to get it back in order to resolve the crisis of looming.
Okay, great. So the they realize
how to apply knowledge. Okay,
the need to get it back, meaning give it back to the watchmaker, or to take it away.
Wherever we're at, it's been stolen or lost already.
Well, we can just say realize the importance of the pendulum.
Yeah, okay.
And because they, you know, that's one of the instances of this covenant. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's have a little pass.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So impact character problem.
Uh-huh.
Isla. So she's a kleptomaniac.
And what is the problem? Is
the result.
Result, okay.
She feels like no one cares about me. So maybe she's always getting into trouble because all she cares about is the next meal, the next place to stay. She's just completely focused on getting results, regardless of who it hurts.
Okay.
And I bet you can figure out what lesson she learns.
Well, since he decided to make it a success good story for him.
Yes. All right.
Issue is how we judge them.
Issue is the thematic. It's essentially the thematic focus.
Okay.
As then the overall story issue is essentially what you'd normally think of as theme.
Okay. So for impact character, worth versus value, would that be something along the lines of she sees herself as only a pickpocket and doesn't realize that that skill will allow her to steal the pendulum?
Sure. That could absolutely. Good. Yeah, that could actually do it.
That's what I want.
Okay.
How are you going to tweak it, though?
Yeah, that's all right.
Pardon me?
It seemed like you were going to tweak it a little bit.
Well, it's a little too overall story-ish. That was my only comment, because it's about the pendulum, which is not so
Isla-centric.
It's okay if you have creepage like that, because everything sort of mixes together in a finished work, but I would have thought that the other part of the value, because you have the worth, the value part might be that and maybe she doesn't appreciate the value, the real value of things. You know,
okay.
So she's got, she feels worth, you know, she feels, has real issues with her own worth, but either she then gives greater value to, you know, she then places a lot more on the value of things, the market value of things, or she places less, you know, whichever way you want it to go, but that would make it more about her than it would about the big picture.
Okay.
So where do you want it to go?
Let's go with that.
I want to keep the meeting with yours.
No,
I know, but I said
two different ways. She overvalues things.
Okay.
But then,
so maybe she steals it and has it hidden.
But the issue is worth, though.
Right. So it has to do with, she has issues with self-worth.
Okay.
Low esteem issues, effectively. And by contrast, she thinks other things are valued greater. Mm-hmm. It sort of reinforces that self-worth issue. All right.
And the main character, the president, signpost one.
Okay.
The Denise Strauss reality show exposes the main character as being a fraud.
This is present. All right. So, exposed as
fraud.
A fraud? What? Yeah, that
she really isn't anything she claims to be. She's not what she claims to be.
She's not really a bartender.
She certainly lies about her age.
Not really.
She's not really a human. He's only 152. She's lying about her age.
Okay, great. Excellent. I mean, you can easily see that's one of the first things that she's running into. She's got the, you know, news. You know, she's on the news and is like stating something about her that's, you know, that she's not who she thinks she is or she says she is or whatever it is.
That's a natural for open problem, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will pass.
Okay.
I needed not to pass. I need to think here. Limit of option lock. This actually would be easier if the limit was time lock, because it'd be an obvious, you know, obviously got to solve this problem by December 24th, but if we're not actually limited to that, because we're trying to save the last Christmas, or we're trying to save.
I mean, this could be a summer blockbuster. You know, you don't really know.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to.
The option lock has to do with what are the things we need to do to foil the watchmaker's scheme, and then once they figure out it's the pendulum, then they need to find out what room to look for the pendulum, and then when they get the pendulum, then they need to you know.
That sounds a little bit more like requirements and prerequisites and requirements and goal. I mean, we know what the goal is. The goal is to Karina is to return to her elf duties.
Oh, well,
that's
kind of main character-ish, though.
Oh, that is. But Karina, as the chief reindeer trainer, needs to go back to work effectively.
Okay.
All
right.
So there are only a certain number of ways to
get her back to work.
Hmm.
Or maybe there are only certain authorities that can get her, you know, to the job.
That's cool.
You know, you have to. There are certain hoops that essentially have to be passed to get to.
That would also support the decision driver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
Because it might be the last one might ultimately be that Karina has to decide to go back to work for the big guy.
Well, it gets down to the actually, okay, trying to see the story limit in the overall terms, the final option is to get Karina on a reindeer, and the reindeer will know what to do.
Well, no, I think, remember, it's a decision story, so it can't be an action. So it's got to be more about Yeah, it has to be her being accepted back in, or her accepting the job reinstatement, or whatever you want to call it, or promotion, or, you know, remember, she's doing really well as a bartender, and she's having a great time, and that's what's keeping her.
When the protagonist and his team save Christmas, and she's a crucial part of that, then, at least in terms of...
Well, see, I think it might be easier to think of it as rather than saving Christmas, because that sounds very obtaining-ish, is think of it, I mean, it could happen around Christmas, but think of it less happening around Christmas than, I mean, if you saw the Santa Claus, right?
No, I never did see that.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, I'm surprised. It's actually pretty entertaining, but it's not an obtaining movie per se. It's more like an updoing, because... He gets the job right away, but that doesn't say, you know, he has to go through all the job descriptions and eventually he signs on, but even then that's not the end. He's, you know, it's like this, it's got to keep the job going. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same kind of thing here. She's got to get back, you know, get back up there. Probably have something's going on with the reindeer, or they're not performing now that she's not there anymore. That, you know, whatever it is, but she's got to make a decision to go back up there, or they've got to make a decision to get her back, to let her come back, something like that. Whichever way it goes, that's how you turn it into a decision. You don't even have to have her going up there,
okay?
Because just the acceptance or whatever the decision, or it might be when she gets up there, she just needs to be accepted back by the reindeer. No matter what everybody else says, the reindeer have to accept her back in her position.
Thing, like if she's in the bar and she puts her bar towel down and she picks up the hat and puts it on and just cut the black.
Right, because you know that everything's going to happen from there. Right. Okay. You know, you're out the door. You don't have to have the epilogue. And you could have an epilogue where whatever. But, yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing when you have a decision like this. Like with Godfather. They pick the Godfather. It's door closes, end of movie. Fit, you know, go to black. You know, so that last driver event wraps it up. It's over.
But at the same time, also trying to tie Mr. Worthington as the protagonist.
Well, I mean, there are all sorts of ways you could do that. You say, okay, he's a butler. Who's he a butler to? He could be a butler to Santa Claus. He could be a butler to the watchmaker. He could be a butler, probably not to Karina because she's the bartender or barkeep, doesn't need a butler. But to somebody who's important, probably one of these other people, and which puts him in a position to get information, which he shares with the other people at the bar because that's what he does when he's not butlering, he's drinking.
Yeah. And we haven't
picked driving. A place.
Yeah, we have sleigh riding. We haven't actually picked a location, geographical location.
Right. It could be in Alaska. What's that small town that someone was from?
Maybe that's where the bridge to nowhere went. To the bar.
It's a magical bridge.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
It actually does go somewhere, but you have to believe in order to
see it. Right.
Right.
But okay, so...
That would be an interesting story, actually.
Yeah. That's what the bridge to nowhere was all about. That's
right.
Yeah. So, resolve it. Option lock.
I forgot to mention, there is one other rule. If you come up with like a super fantastic idea that you really, really like, keep it to yourself. Don't bring it up here because it's being recorded and everybody in here is hearing it. So now, that's the other rule I forgot to mention. I don't think I think we're safe with everything we've talked about so far.
I really like that bridge idea, though. That's
fine. It's yours. Go for it. It's all of yours. Okay. So option lock. Can you think of what it is ultimately that's going to wrap it up? Because that will define what the options lead up to. I mean, it's a great discussion, but we do need results.
Maybe the final option is to. This is going to sound a little cheesy, but
excuse me,
Mr. Worthington.
rest of it.
decides, okay, we're going to let Karina present the pendulum to Santa. And that should hopefully be so auspicious that Santa will decide to reinstate her.
Okay, well then, right. Okay. Whether she, the decision to give it, let her do that? No, you can't, you've just already said there's a one decision after that, which is that Santa has to decide to reinstate
right.
her. That would be the closing event, which in which case everything else is all these, there are a limited number of options that can convince Santa to reinstate Karina.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you want?
I guess, but my confusion here is we got the concern and the goal, which I'm trying to, you know, reconcile.
The concern of trying to save the last
Christmas.
It's because that's an obtaining.
Right, it's phrased in an obtaining sense. It's like
mm-hmm.
to try to, it's, rather than trying to save it, you're trying to
keep it
from
keep
going
it.
Away,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, from being stolen. Or
right.
not even that, because stolen is obtaining. No, but just trying to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
It's winding down. It's not the way it was, and it needs to be jacked up again.
So,
if you just say the goal is to keep Christmas going, that's the doing.
Okay.
Right.
Well, there's that. There's that, and then there's the Karina goal, right?
Right.
To return to her, being reinstated. So that's why I was looking at option lock to figure, okay. The options would work on several levels. It would work on how do we get the, where do we find the pendulum? What do we do with the pendulum? Okay, and then our final option is to get Karina get the pendulum to Santa in Karina's hands so that she can fulfill her personal goal as well as.
But it's not, you're describing actions.
So you're saying the options need to have to do with
their
decisions.
Right. It's a decision option lock.
Okay.
So you'd have to make a list of decisions that need to be made.
Okay.
In order to hit the big decision. Yeah. Once this last decision is made, it doesn't bring the end. I mean, the list is the limit. So it's not the driver. Okay. So the options are going to bring about the climax. So this is not the same as the driver. You know, we were kind of using them interchangeably. The driver, which is the decision, is going to wrap it up. The option lock, there are going to be a certain number of things that are going to bring it to this big climax. And that's not the same. That's before the end. It's going to bring it to whatever the big showdown is.
So there will be decisions, not actions.
No, no, no. The decisions are actually going to be tied. Those are tied to the limit, the driver, not the limit.
Okay.
So they can be actions, but there are going to be a certain number of options. You have a certain number of places or things that you can do or find, and that's it. You know, an option lock is like having three wishes, or there's Now you have seven with seven deadly sins. You know there are seven murders. Well, when the seventh murder is over, it's the story's, got to wrap up. So it's like eight visitations by the reindeer or something. I mean, all of those are, any of those types of things are fine. It's just, you've just got to come up with, I think the problem is you're trying to tie it too tightly to the story of what we've said, and you don't need to. It can be, four wishes. It could be anything. It does. Pick a number, and then So if you want it to be explicit, if you want it to be more general, then you just need to say sort of what kind of condition. What is the final condition, and these are the things that need to lead up to that.
Okay. What if we went with main character responsive unending?
Oh,
I can't wrap
okay.
my brain around.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, we've dried up.
This could be the subjective story responsive unending, either one. Maybe it's better in the subjective story. Did we already deal with the ending?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Right. The response, or at least Corinna's response to Isla's running away, is... basically say, I will always be here for you. You know,
there's an open door.
Right. Yeah.
You might run away, but it's not over.
Right. And I'm trying to think of something more concrete, but that's the idea of that.
Yeah. No, that's. We're doing an instant thing here.
She
drinks an unending amount of liquor.
That would be over in our main character.
Yeah, that's main character.
Yeah, that's the main character response.
Yeah.
Never stop drinking.
Yeah.
And of course, you can always make it so that she never gets drunk.
Oh, yeah, well,
so
actually,
she can always drink everybody under the table.
Just to give it a visual element. Maybe she gives Isla a bracelet that says mother and daughter forever.
Fine.
I'm just trying to think of something more concrete than
that's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Sort of like putting a collar on a cat.
Okay. Next.
Main versus impact story. Signpost one conceiving an idea. Elmer Himmel and
this is conceiving?
No, what is this?
Conceiving. He's reason.
Conceiving an idea.
Yeah. Elmer Himmel and Jesse bring Anna to the bar to meet with Ron Blitzen in order to kind of evoke a kind of reconciliation after their most recent issue. And Elmer reasons with Von Blitzen, trying to convince her to reconcile after this estrangement. And this is where the issue of the unending and the conversation occurs.
Okay, so the idea is to reconcile.
Yeah, after the most recent estrangement, that they're going to try again. That's the idea, that we should try again, or maybe that we can live.
Maybe since it's signpost one, maybe conceiving the idea, you have these other characters who, maybe they're the ones who conceive of the idea of these two should be in a relationship. These two should have a relationship. So maybe that's the start of it.
Right.
Sure. Or the idea of taking her in. That's the other thing, too. If we have the other elements where she's not really aware that it's her daughter, which we've sort of established, then at this point, you can just say, hey, you're welcome to stay here, Hey, I have an idea. Why don't you just, shack here? Stay here. You don't have any other place, then you're welcome to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is the option lock the lead into the driver of decision?
Yes, it pretty much brings about the climax. And then the climax, you end up with, around the same time of the climax, depending on the type of story, you might have the main character, or in this case, the impact character, change, or the main character remain steadfast, sort of illustrated. You'd also have the outcome and the judgment, which would then wrap up with the final driver tied in there. So, yeah, it sort of forces all that stuff to happen.
Okay, I was thinking, I don't know exactly if this fits in, right? But if this pendulum, or whatever it is, was maybe originally stolen from the North Pole, and that's why Christmas will not exist, the good guys get it from the Watchmaker, they lose it. Isla finds it and keeps it because she's a pickpocket. And then somehow presents it to her mother, she doesn't know as her mother, and maybe that's what makes her decide to go back up to the North Pole with this.
So there are only a certain number of, once the pendulum is lost, there are only a certain number of, I don't know, you'd have to sort of say what those things are, or a certain number of ways to
get
it back up.
All hope is lost when the pendulum is lost, like they've all kind of given up.
Right. It's so weird. It's you're right. It is a time locky kind of a feel to this story. But you'd have, you know, you say there are only, I mean, again, this is sort of a hokey way of putting it, but it's almost like it can only be in the possession of X number of people before it loses its magic or something like that, you know, and if it's passed around too much, then it, maybe it may give off a little of itself each time and ultimately just turns back into a pendulum. It's something like that. But, you know, there's, that would work, you know, using the pendulum and getting the pendulum back to the North Pole would absolutely work as an optional. Absolutely. So, I mean, especially if you look at it as a...
Can we try this?
As a road picture. If it turns into more of a road picture, then you... Well, no, I mean, then that would work. That's another kind of optional. So, yeah, what...
This is my option, is that, because it's a pendulum, instead of people, maybe it can only go into three watches or three clocks before it...
Okay.
It seals itself to that one.
That's a great idea. Okay, so there's only X number, three or five or whatever, three, whatever.
Yeah. So then the we're trying to make a distinction here. We're saying that if we're trying to get the pendulum back to the North Pole, we have to have it become potentially useless upon reaching there.
Right.
Otherwise, it becomes a time lock.
Not otherwise, but there are, when you're dealing with Christmas, which is a holiday that is so much a time holiday, that it's, one is inclined to keep on doing that. That's why I was saying, if you think about this happening during the summer, then that part just mentally sort of fades away, is not part of it. Even if you then sort of move it back in time, mm-hmm. You know, reposition it time-wise. But yeah, I think using the idea of putting it in the watch... Yeah, the pendulum, it can only go into so many watches or clocks that it, after that, it'll lose its special quality and will be lost in its time. It'll last forever. Yeah, that's a great idea. Especially having the watchmaker being the one who stole it, since he's into watches, you know, that's a, you know, as an antagonist, that's good. And he wants it back.
I'm trying to, even as we're hitting these story points, I'm trying to make sense of the story.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to think, okay, what is the pendulum's purpose in Santa's possession? What will that enable him to do or not enable him to do, or what will that enable, how does that enable Christmas?
Okay, well, since you're talking about a fantasy world.
Right.
And you're talking about something that's a real item. You could easily say, one thing that comes to mind would be that this pendulum keeps the fantasy world alive. You've got creatures here who live way past, you know, real-time people. You know, Santa is however old, you know, centuries old.
Mm-hmm.
These elves are centuries old. How does that happen? Well, you put a little logic in there and say that there's this clock. It's the special Christmas clock that keeps... that suspends time at the North Pole, and when it's stolen, everything there is starting to age and stuff, or maybe there's a point where if it's not returned by a certain amount of time, or with a certain number of conditions, you know, it depends, you know, we're not looking at the story from their point of view.
Right.
These are things that might be going on, you know, with the consequences or you know, there might be things going on up there, but we're really not paying attention to that part of the story. It's a different story. But that could be tied to it. So it's something that would steal the magic and maybe one of the reasons why the antagonist is trying to do it, he wants to live forever. And he wants to install it in his, you know, his clock or his watch or whatever.
Before he gets 100.
Because it's 9 years old, right?
Right, it might also act as the fountain of youth and restore youth. Or, you know, there's all sorts of things you can make it do anything. It's fantasy,
right?
So, but that would be a logical reason why somebody in the real world might want to steal this relic.
Main impact character. Developing a plan.
The main character?
Yeah. She's the guardian. She's a guardian character, and she's a guardian of the idea. And so she, the fact that she has a need for the main character to fulfill the need for her makes her the guardian of the idea.
Well, the guardian is really in the overall story, remember? But you could easily, with going with the idea which you're going with, I think the idea is fine, is that there's, you know, maybe she's working out a plan to try to see if she can, you know, maybe be able to adopt.
Fulfill the need that she can do in the past. And the main character is in the past. And that the impact character makes her utilize the ability that she has in the past.
Don't want to actually do it that way, because when you're looking at the main versus impact character story, you're looking at their relationship.
Yeah, right.
So you're not looking at what the main character is dealing with personally. You're not looking at what the impact character is dealing with at their end. You're really looking at what's going on in their relationship. So in their relationship, it's developing a plan. So they're trying to figure out one or both of them how to make their relationship work better or how to get rid of one another or whatever.
What he was talking about, though, would apply to the main character signpost two of the past.
Yeah.
It sounds like what you were really talking about.
Okay, and what is that?
And what were you saying about Corinne's past?
She is a person who's in need. This girl 9 years old. She's she had a habit of stealing, and she has a need. And by the main character doing her job, she's fulfilling her need.
Okay, I'm not sure.
She has her
okay. Developing a, okay. You're still talking about developing a plan, though.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, in the relationship story, they together, the two of them,
yeah,
the developer a plan, or at least Corinna does, and tries to get Isla to come go along with it, and that's a plan to allow her to be a mother to her. We're going to sort of
her natural instinct is a mother, and she's
right,
bringing that out.
But they're going to develop a plan and say, okay, we're going to go about doing it this way. We're going to go to church together on Sunday. We're going to have meals in the evening. We're going to develop a plan as to how to be a family.
Yeah, right.
The two of us.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That works.
Yeah, and that happens in Act Two. Yeah.
It does.
Of the main character.
Of the
that would be the relationship through line. That's the main versus impact through line.
That's a
grenade.
Okay.
Did I skip you by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, okay. I just have a question about the main character, because it keeps sounding like she's a changed character. Like she's kind
No,
of,
she's not.
I get the feeling that she's reluctant.
Yeah.
About.
Well, she's a doer and a decision story.
Okay.
So that makes her, I mean, just by that, she'd feel like she's reluctant.
Because usually steadfast stories, the problem is kind of what's driving her to do something like that.
Right, but she's, you know, remember, all this is happening in her bar.
Okay.
And so she's definitely there. She's the emotion character, remember, in that stuff. But personally, she's, you know, she's got her own path, and she wants, you know, she really, really does want to get back to where she was.
Okay. So in that case, then, the requirements for the overall story of learning, you know, going off the solution that, you know, it's a process that everybody in the bar is going to have to do together.
Uh-huh.
That she's teaching them stuff to do to keep Christmas going.
Okay.
How to hang Christmas lights appropriately, or how to cut snowflakes the right way.
Okay.
That's why. Okay.
Yeah. So teaching everyone how to keep Christmas. Yeah. It's sort of. Have you seen Elf?
Yeah, I just thought Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's the, there's a whole act that's basically just that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Where was that under? Was that under?
That's the requirements.
All the overall story.
The overall story requirements down the additional story points. Yeah. Yes. Gathering information, otherwise known as learning.
Right. So I have a main character solution.
Okay.
Which is test. Seeing that this is a comedy, I thought maybe as she's learning that she's going to have to return to her role, which is making her unsettled because other people are trusting her, maybe she teaches some animals around the town to fly a sleigh to prove.
Now remember, she doesn't actually ever
she never
truly adopt it. Right. But right. But there will be, you know, she'll try it a little bit to see, you know, because if she actually adopted it, she'd have no more motivation. She'd have no drive.
Okay.
So she really wouldn't have anything, you know, bothering her.
Got it.
It would
never
work that way
there.
In a steadfast character, because it just necessarily doesn't go there. But you can absolutely have people like, all right, let's just turn it a little bit around. People are asking her to test some of the things that would, you know, that she might normally, you know, like, even show her, what kind of tests did you do when you were, you know, a reindeer engineer? And it's like, or can, you know, how many reindeer are there? What are their names? Where are they from? All, you know, giving her tests, which would sort of alleviate that anxiety she has about the whole trust issue. But she would just like, no, you know, eventually she probably wouldn't go too much into it, because if she did it too much, she'd get, you know, it would start to feel really comfortable enough. And so you really wouldn't want to do it. Or there's going to be one, and then it doesn't happen, you know. Yeah, you have to be just very careful about employing the main character solution to a steadfast character, because it will. If you do it too much, your audience is going to think, "Oh, well, they don't have a problem," you know, and that doesn't ever go over terribly well. You sort of abort it early, but so yeah, you could absolutely have her even developing tests. You know, she's you know, thinking about tests or developing tests that can, if she gave herself and passed, that maybe that would make her feel okay about the thing that she did,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of whatever it was in their past that she screwed up that got her ousted, unless it's the baby thing, you know.
She forgot to, the pregnancy test.
Right. I thought of the same thing. Maybe there probably is a way to figure that out. And maybe it had to do with, you know, it just doesn't work on elves. You know, or something. I don't know. You could probably put something in there. It's one of those things I really wouldn't suggest putting a real concrete example in there, because it might end up neutralizing your character's drive.
Right, no, I see that. All right, can I throw out something else then?
Absolutely.
An impact character solution.
Okay.
Which is process, which is because of her nimble and light touch, her mother, now since we're at the end of the movie, I'm assuming, teaches her to groom the reindeer.
Oh, Isla?
Yeah, Isla.
Oh, so she's able to...
So she's able to... It gets away from, you know, wants results no matter who it hurts, and the way she sort of gets away from that is she gets a job as a reindeer groomer.
She takes satisfaction from that.
Right.
Right.
The point being is that she is now happy just doing things with her mom.
Right. It's the journey, it's not awesome. The end.
Yeah.
And she's half elf, so.
And that goes with
her painting. She might be 100% elf, depending on who the father turns out to be.
And that would go with the painting.
Yeah, maybe it was the watchmaker that she had it with. You know, that might have been it, which that gave him the opportunity to steal it, and that was why she was thrown out.
Wow.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
the process, she learns to take joy in the process of life, such as grooming the reindeer with her mom.
Yeah, right.
Even though there's nothing tangible, she gets all of it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that would go with obtaining. Would go an overall story of obtaining.
No. That would be the impact character solution of process. That's what we were talking about. So the process. Mm-hmm.
Although what's nice is that there's a the signpost for the overall story is understanding, and there's you can have some overlapping shades of meaning there that, you know.
This is her part of the role in the process.
She understands a little bit better what, you know.
Yeah, she understands. Now she stops stealing and she becomes a relatively good girl and she understands the relationship of mother and daughter.
Well, but understanding is the overall story, right?
Yeah, but signpost for contemplation might also.
The impact character.
Right? Yeah, the impact character signpost for contemplation is like, you know, she sort of decides in her, you know, present, you know, considerations to, I'm going to give this a try.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And she even becomes considerate.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. I mean, that's a consideration. That's part of it. The signpost for.
Well, maybe then she steals something off the reindeer and the mother catches her. But she just can't help
it. Oh, sorry, Mom.
Wah, wah, wah. Now you have the epilogue where she's taking the sleigh out for a joyride.
I'm going on 17.
How about stealing stuff from people, patrons at the bar, and now she's not doing it anymore.
Right. So that would be like her problem with result is that's what her stealing is kind of getting results right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to get. Yeah.
I have one for main character judgment.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely. If you've got ones, let's do them.
So if she's guilty or whatever she's done in the past, whatever decision she makes at the end,
judgment of good, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then so for her to overcome that, when Santa welcomes her in with open arms, he asks her to make him a drink. I think she's got this. So she realizes she can do both things. She can make great drinks.
Great.
Christmas at the same time.
What would you drink?
Sex on the beach. I've just never been there. Every time I try to get
somehow kind of makes sense now.
Yes, the virgin eggnog, right.
Wink.
Exactly.
Well, that's pushing room.
Ding, ding.
The main character resolve is steadfast. I mean that's.
It makes sense there because she doesn't. She realizes her role as a mother and she becomes a
She can't. Well, that's why I'm just sort of thinking out loud. But we know how Isla changes.
Yeah.
She changes from someone who has this, you know.
Stealing and
no one cares. I don't care. You know, she's and then she starts to care.
Yeah.
Starts to realize other people care. So, but Karina's steadfastness.
I think he just touched on it.
Well, I know that's why I'm trying to expand on it a little bit. Is that she? Because here she is. She kind of got kicked out of her elfin role, and now she's a bartender. But just because she's a bartender doesn't mean she doesn't have value as a mother or as a reindeer trainer.
Turn it around. I mean, if you want to, and this is sort of borrowing from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I'm just thinking out loud anyway. So,
just make her like Hermy. She's the one who she wants to be a bartender. And that's why she's drinking out of the job or whatever, and that's why she's tossed out. It's part of it. Or she gets, something like that. And so she says to Santa Claus, I'll come back, but You gonna let me bartend? He goes, okay, and then he makes us, and so she makes, and he says, why don't you make me a, you know, a virgin eggnog? Okay, Santa.
So basically, her sort of argument to the world is, I have value. I'm a valuable person, no matter what's how you treat me. You know, because okay, Santa kind of treated her badly. Isla's, you know, dissing her, but she sort of hangs on to her sort of self worth to say, you know, I'm not going to let you, you know, make me think I'm a worthless person.
Well, the worthless character—that's Isla's the one who's got those worth issues.
She's the one that changes.
Well, Isla's the one that changes,
yeah.
but so if her issue is fantasy, and I'm still trying to give you know put words to the steadfast thing. I can do it all. I can be it all.
It's kind of hard. Here's the reason you're having a hard time relating it.
Mm-hmm.
We actually haven't described the main character symptom and response, which are the thing that the steadfastness is going to be in relation to.
All right.
So, you know, that's the reason why you're having this. It's sort of nebulous because we haven't pinpointed what it is that she's actually, you know, she looks at ending as being the problem. If you asked Karina what your problem is, she'd say,
"I can never get this right. I can never train
anybody." Or others, or whatever. To think I can't get it right,
or it's something that's open ended.
You want me to stop bartending,
or stop training reindeer, or
stop or getting, I'm prevented from. We have been there's an edict, and I've been you know no one can bartend. Or something like that, you know, and anytime that somebody's telling me I cannot do something, you know, or the reverse, somebody says that it's, this is the way it's going to be, and that's the way it is now and forever. Is it ending or unending? Ending. Oh, so that's the way her solution would be, you know, this has got to be open-ended here. You know, I don't want a contract. I don't want, you know, an annual contract or whatever, you know, whatever it is that bothers her about something that's finite. She wants something that's open-ended.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that would be her steadfastness is that she's like, look, I want this open-ended relationship. This is the way I work, and that's why I feel most comfortable, and she sticks to it.
Until those edicts stop. Because she's waiting for something outside of herself to stop.
Right, right. Yeah. And so she's constantly getting these, you know, things that are going to end, you know, they're constantly, you know, being sort of forced on her, and she's like, "No, I'm going to fight those. I'm going to make sure they're open ended."
Right. That's why her. She's in such a passionate relationship with Isla because she's also trying to put an end to that new relationship, and she says, "No, you know,
no, it's forever."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that. So that's where she's steadfast. Mm-hmm. So that's why you were having that hard time discussing it because we hadn't really even defined it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm just trying to follow. So one of her, this is a little bad in the subjective storyline, but it's as though, you know, can we pretend for a second that ending and unending are
all
subjective?
Okay.
But in the subjective storyline.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
They
overlap.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Sorry. So it might be the kind of thing where the problem would be that I was like, I want boundaries. Or I want to, I can be your daughter until I'm 18, and she's like, no, I'm your mother forever.
Right,
and that's
right.
Her reaction.
Yeah, that's exactly that's
okay.
Yeah. We
okay.
kind of have a little, you know, lightly,
right. Yeah.
encoded, but yeah, that's
right.
How it works.
And being the emotion character, also, she's very passionate about that. But you're right, she's in it forever. Maybe that's her steadfastness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever she's doing, she's in it for.
Literally forever.
She's a bartender forever.
And she's also an elf forever, and she can
and
do it all.
Mother forever.
Others are kind of saying, no.
You can do it for now, but that's, you know, you
I'm
only have,
yeah.
You.
Yeah. So her steadfast position is, I'm in whatever, all the things that I do, I'm in it for good. And I'm going to stay that way until.
Actually, the emotion character is ideal for her, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, it works really well as an emotion character. You can easily see they're making that kind of statement.
She's making a
feeling,
statement.
Yeah. Emotional plea to these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different forces.
Okay, so we're pretty much at an end for the evening. So, who would like to sort of pull together the story? Oh, is that my job?
Yeah.
Finger is. Now, of course, unfortunately, we didn't get as many of the overall story characters worked into it, which I think it's such an interesting group of characters that I'm sure we could have come in, up with some really fun storytelling, you know, business for the overall story. We have a main character. Oh, let me work off these screens and cheat. I'll help a little bit. So our main character is Karina von Blitzen, who's a disgraced elf and was either booted out, probably. We're not sure exactly why, but she was booted out of Santa's village, the North Pole, or wherever Santa lives, in disgrace. Right now we're looking at it probably around 10 years ago. And possibly because she had some illicit affair with
a snowman.
Woo!
By golfer. Oh, I got it now. Okay.
Number 12.
You talking about drugs or snowman.
Oh, 11
now? Okay. With someone, and had a child, or her child was taken from her, and then she left Santa Town to try to find her, and set up as a bar owner of a very successful bar with lots of regulars, of which a good portion of our characters are part of, and problem is that she does start off with the very first act. One of the things that happens, there's a news article that's run by Denise Strauss runs this reality TV show production, and she puts this bad piece of press on the news, which sort of puts Karina in the limelight and gives her undue and unwanted attention. She is, as a result, it kind of creates some trouble for her bar. She's the last reindeer trainer, and she has a real problem with people who wish to place trust in her. She's a very trustworthy person, but she herself, because of this trust issue that happened in her past, is just really turned off and gets very agitated when someone tries to tell her particularly, you know, trusted secrets or give her things to hold. She just feels like, you know, she doesn't want to have that kind of responsibility. She is thinks about, for her, she has an unreal, what appears to be an unreal idea of her skills in contrast to her real nature. You know, she'll tell people that she's 232 years old and nobody ever believes her, which of course is a reality, but the reality is that internally she's not nearly as old as she is in chronologically. And in the big picture, we have our antagonist, Odysseus Knight, who's this 99-year-old watchmaker and has somehow stolen a magical pendulum from the North Pole, which has an unfortunate side effect of when it's put into a clock, it does, maybe it has a magical power, we haven't determined this, of making that person younger or extending their life or something, but if it can only be put into a certain number of clocks before it loses its magic. Unless it's returned back to the North Pole. And of course, if it's not returned to the North Pole, then the magic in the North Pole is going to disappear, and Christmas will be gone forever. Does that sort of fit in with where we were going? Sort of, kind of. We have, as a result of the... I'm going to make up some stuff now. Odysseus Knight's butler, Mr. Worthington, a regular at the bar... finds out what his employer has done, and while rather stewed, manages to blurt this out to the other patrons and says that he has plans to steal this back, although he doesn't really know exactly what to do with it at that point, because it supposedly came from some magical place up in the North Pole, which he knows nothing about, which, of course, he's saying it right in front of this 232-year-old elf who happens to have this privileged knowledge and can actually tell them what to do. And they decide, as a group, to act on this information and to try to return, try to get back that pendulum to the North Pole before Christmas is gone forever. Now, let's see. I'm running out of steam here. Oh, meanwhile, we have this 9-year-old street urchin / pickpocket, Isla Roulet, who happens to also be Karina's long-lost kid, which Karina does not know, but has some pretty strong suspicions. It might be the pointy ears or something. I'm not sure. And
the problem theory is we never talked about that in Subjective Story.
Yep, there you go.
So, solution hunch. So,
well, she has to go with what she feels is right, not with, you know, exactly the details aren't that, you know, she has to kind of also maybe not know, she doesn't necessarily know who the father is. There were just so many.
Yes. Yeah.
And so,
you know,
she finds Isla trying to pickpocket, you know, some of the people in the bar, and she ends up getting an idea that maybe, you know, she doesn't have a place to live, stay with me. She then tries to, you know, sort of mother her and become acting like her mother, even though she does not realize that she actually is her mother. And of course, Isla, who's really got some very strong problems with self-worth, thinks she's not worth much, so she only sees her worthiness in what she can, the value of the things that she can steal. So if she steals things that are more value, she feels like she herself is worth more. And in fact, at one point, after the group steals the pendulum from the watchmaker, Isla actually ends up stealing it from them, feeling that this is such an invaluable item that if she has it, then that'll make her valuable too. And ultimately, she realizes that it's not the possessions that you have. It's not the, you know, if you ignore the results and who you hurt by those results, that nothing good comes of it. And that really, it's all about the process. And we've talked about so many different ways of how we get to that.
As the help character, she delivers the pendulum. She's got the key thing. So,
as a guardian character. Right, eventually.
How about if she realizes that one of the two women realized that if she steals the pendulum, then it can't go back to the main character will lose her longevity.
And it's even possible. Yeah, it's possible even that they even decide that Karina decides to go back to there and bring Isla along, even though she doesn't realize that Isla has the pendulum. You know, it's like, okay, we have, maybe there's some last thing we can do to save it, and it turns out that just by bringing Isla along, Isla sees sort of where the world that her mother came from and gives up the pendulum, which of course sort of saves the day, and really the only reason she gives it up is because she truly has gone through some sort of a transformation, a catharsis, right? Ultimately, Santa allows Karina to open up a bar at the North Pole and groom on the, you know, do her reindeer training and bartending, which is what leaves her in a really happy place, and Christmas is safe. Something like that. Anyway. Obviously, lots of holes in there, but otherwise thought as lots of room for development.
This podcast was brought to you by Wright Brothers, creators of software for writers since 1982. Visit us at www.screenplay.com and www.dramatica.com.